Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by now Lakers Nation's Harrison Fagan. I felt like...
That's right. We didn't get to announce that on the last pod. I forgot.
We didn't. And I feel like, you know, the Lakers saw your big news and decided to steal your shine. Like, how do you feel about that?
Well, actually, they signed Bogut the night before I announced. But, you know, I feel maybe that was like a preemptive... shot across the bow, just to let Lakers Nation know that they had the real control over signing, over the news about signing a lanky, past his prime white guy.
I actually slid into the Lakers DMs and I told them that you were about to make your decision and you were about to make your announcement. If they could drop any big news just to blow your news out of the water, that'd be great, because... hashtag Team Petty for life.
You heard it here first. Andrew Bogut signed just to, you know, get rid of the news that I was signing with Lakers Nation.
I would say of the two entities that Lakers Nation is probably going to get more out of you than the Lakers are going to get out of Andrew Bogut, unless his sole purpose is to watch over the Lakers' emails in this tampering case. Then
okay, all right,
What happened there? What?
Let's not get into that.
All right. Well, we will not get into, but we will talk about Andrew Bogut here in a second. As always, find the show on Audio Boom, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, and today's Fast Break. All right, use those promo codes and all that good stuff. Let's talk about the Andrew Bogut signing, though, because, like, I'll just say it. For me, the first thing that crossed my mind was, okay, now is Zubats out of the rotation completely? Is he strictly trade bait now? Is this, you used a phrase earlier, a shot across the bow. Is this the Lakers telling Zubats, hey, dude, what we saw in Vegas over the summer is not going to stand moving forward? And if so, there's always big, stiff white guys that we could find to replace you with.
Well, I think what the first thing that comes to mind, actually, is I remember right after exit interviews, you and I did a podcast. And I don't know if you remember this specific conversation, because you don't remember a lot, including the text me back sometimes. Mm-hmm. But... Ivica Zubac, we were talking about how much fun it was going to be to watch Ivica Zubac and Timofey Mozgov go up against each other for the Lakers starting spot in training camp this year. Mm-hmm. And it now appears that neither of them may be eligible for that starting job. Well, I guess the Lopez trade made sure that Zubac wasn't going to be getting it, but he may not even be the backup anymore with this Brook Lopez thing. Although I do think that maybe that's a little premature, just because we haven't seen Andrew Bogut really stay healthy but in quite a while. So who knows how many games the Lakers are actually going to get out of him. But, you know, I mean, it's definitely not a sign of confidence in Zubats that they signed another guy.
Bill Orem also reported that there is some concern about Brook Lopez's back, which, for those Laker fans out there who remember the Dwight Howard year, who was coming off of back surgery, this isn't exactly what you want to hear about when you're talking about a starting center in the NBA.
Now, this is not going to be fun, to quote like what I assume is the NBA preview issue of Sports Illustrated. It's like just like Lopez in a hospital bed on the cover with like LeVar Ball.
I kind of want Sports Illustrated to just stay the hell away from Los Angeles sports. Just from now on. Just go away. I don't want...
I think every fan base wants that. They have this thing called the cover curse.
Oh, and... my God. I know you don't follow the Dodgers very closely, but they had that cover a while back. It was asking if the Dodgers were the best team.
I remember seeing that, and I'm like, oh, okay, so the Dodgers are about to be horrible. Because it asked if they were the greatest team of all time.
Guess what?
What?
They wound up being horrible. They've been horrible since that cover. Like, I'm not going to say it was to the day or that I believe that there's any correlation, but the This Is Fun cover followed by the Best Team Ever ? Cover, like, Sports Illustrated, keep Los Angeles sports out your mouth.
Like, or just reverse jinx them and just, like, put Lonzo on the cover and be, like, biggest bust in NBA draft history, and then, like, he surpasses MJ.
I'm cool with it. Yeah, do that. Yeah. Do more of that. Is there any way to get you hired at Sports Illustrated instead of Lakers Nation now?
So that I
you
never can thought sprint. Lakers Nation would hire me, so I guess there's always a chance.
Shoot your shot 2017. All right, so in all seriousness, though, the Bogut signing, is it a fully guaranteed thing or is it a training camp invite? Because, like, the Cavs just recently invited Kendrick Perkins. And my concern here is that the Lakers can't stay away from ex-Cavs centers. So you don't think there's a chance that the Lakers wind up with Kendrick Perkins, right?
No, I don't think that is the main takeaway here. No, that would not be my my main. Yeah. Uh-huh. No. No,
even if you thought that there was a possibility that the Lakers could get Kendrick Perkins, just lie to me if I ask you.
Point, especially with the Bogut signing, I don't think there's any chance the Lakers could get Kendrick Perkins. I think Kendrick Perkins would want to sign with them just because he probably wants to go look for the cash that Doc Rivers hid in the ceiling or whatever to like go get for them when they came back there for another title run and then never did it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's because Kendrick Perkins got hurt and therefore they never lost a series with all five of those guys, Harrison.
Yep, it's true.
But the Bogut signing, though, is it a training cap thing, or is he around to stay? Like, is this going to be something that I
it's
have to
partially
watch?
Guaranteed?
Okay, so there's a chance that he doesn't stick around.
Yeah, there is a chance that he is not around. I'm trying to find the exact number on the partial guarantee right now, but I know it's partially guaranteed. It's not just a training camp invite. There is like money at stake here. But it's not like, I don't know. It looks like, the most recent I'm seeing is Ramona Shelburne, and it looks like she's saying that it's partially guaranteed, but she's not saying how much.
How much
and
is
so,
actually guaranteed?
Yeah, so.
I'm sure it's a league minimum thing, and it's minimally guaranteed, I would imagine, too.
Yeah.
In terms of the actual basketball player, Andrew Bogut, did you think that it made sense at all for the Lakers?
Yeah, I mean, you could see some merits to it. I think Pelinka and Luke Walton have made some arguments for it. Pelinka's none of them, they weren't very hyperbolic. I don't know. I think he realized like that people are making fun of him. I don't know. This is really sad for me because I was hoping that they would sign Andrew Bogut and they would compare him to, like, I don't know, like the greatest thing since sliced bread or like... You know, like
he's some kind of biblical reference, right?
Yeah, like he's the greatest. Like the path to the rim is going to be like the opposite of the Red Sea parting when Andrew Bogut is down there.
Exactly. Yeah, he's
the Red Sea closing.
No, I think Pelinka thought to himself, "Look, we have to get all these players in pairs," and he needed another stiff white guy alongside Zubats in the Ark, in Noah's Ark, in the team that.
Well, but yeah, I mean, what about Lopez? So
he's kind of like, I mean, his last name is Lopez, right? Well, I guess Zubac.
Oh my, okay. Anyway, Yeah, I mean, there's merits to the signing. He's Luke Walton actually called him. He sat down with Spectrum Sportsnet and he called Bogut one of the best passing big men in the NBA, and he's not really wrong. A big part of the Warriors' attack before they got rid of Bogut and Harrison Barnes and signed Kevin Durant and made their team better, but when they were really, really good with Bogut, a big part of their attack was letting him make passes from the elbow and things like that, and he can be really dangerous in that role. And so I think the biggest concern with him is just the health. If he can stay healthy, he could definitely contribute.
Yeah, I don't think anybody should predict anything more than 10 minutes on the court for Bogut per night.
Like 10 to 15 minutes.
And I think if that's all the Lakers are hoping from him, then I think there's a possibility he could stay healthy and actually help the team a little bit. The other thing that I thought too, one thing that Phil Jackson used to do when he would have turnover with teams that he was coaching, or when he came from Chicago to Los Angeles, he tried to bring guys over with him who knew and understood the system, so that in practices there would be a coach on the court per se, regardless of what position they played. Phil Jackson wanted some kind of continuity within the system so that he didn't have a completely blank slate team by team by team as guys learn the system. And Bogut, for everything that, you know, there are concerns about his health, is he, you know, can he actually play in this current iteration of NBA basketball? That kind of remains to be seen at his current athleticism. But the one thing that he will offer, especially in training camp here, is as Luke Walton is trying to implement his system with a pretty brand new team, I think, was it 3 out of 5 of the Lakers starters are new guys this year. They weren't on the team last year. So if he can have any kind of continuity in practices and maybe that extends out into games, I think that's the biggest thing that Andrew Bogut is actually going to offer beyond the legal screens that are going to help open up the game a little bit for Lonzo Ball.
Yeah, and we've seen that the Lakers have been doing this throughout the summer. They actually, there was a report a couple days ago that they tried to sign Andre Iguodala to a $20 million one-year deal. So They've definitely placed an emphasis on trying to get Luke's guys. And I don't know, I think there's an interesting kind of debate to be had about whether or not that's always going to serve them well and whether or not that's always the best call. But I think in this case, for this amount of money, I just don't really see how it hurts.
Well, I think... So there's a difference. I like the point that you're making, and I think it's a viable conversation to have. Tom Thibodeau right now, if you look at the signings that he's made, they're all ex-Bulls. I think he even brought Aaron Brooks. Like, he dusted off Aaron Brooks to bring onto that roster. I think
Aaron Brooks is still alive?
It shocked me as well.
Oh.
And so I think that, and Doc Rivers also falls victim to this as well, in this idea.
No, Doc Rivers does not sign Doc Rivers' old players. Doc Rivers signs anybody who ever played well against him once.
Well, right, and that's kind of, I think those two are sides of the same coin, where coaches who have personnel power tend to rely a little too heavily on their personal experience versus league-wide research on which guys actually would be best served on the roster. The roster would be best served with them on there. And
it's almost like with last year when one of the kind of pluses given on Mozgov's resume was that Luke Walton had scouted him during the finals so much and seen how much of a threat he could be. It's almost like that wasn't a positive.
I would say that was laughable analysis, bordering on spin, outright spin. But
there was talk at that time that like Luke really liked him. That Luke had the Warriors scout all year, and he liked what Mozgov brought to the table. And like, I don't want to blame Luke Walton for the Mozgov contract that obviously goes above him, but there were reports at the time that he was a fan of the move.
Yeah, let's just make sure we keep Luke away from personnel decisions if he was a fan. It's forever. But
Luke, are you sure you want to give him $64 million? Give him 72.
Exactly. So, but I think there's a slight difference in what Doc Rivers does and Tom Thibodeau, what he's been doing up there in Minnesota, and what we think Luke Walton might be up to here, where he...
Is it that they don't have to use their number two pick to dump the contract of the guy?
Yeah, that's a slight difference there. But I was actually meaning that Luke Walton's strategy here is a little less harmful than what is going on with Doc Rivers, who no longer has personnel power with the Clippers, and what is going on up north in Minnesota with Tom Thibodeau, where some people up there are a little concerned about the signings that he's made and the decisions that he's made with that power. What Luke Walton is doing here is he's kind of adding pieces on the peripherals that can help implement the system, whereas I think, you know, Tom Thibodeau has made a genuine effort to bring in his guys to play actual roles on the team. I think Doc Rivers, same thing, where, you know, he relied on Glenn Big Baby Davis about 3 years after Glenn Davis should have been 3 years out of the league. And, you know, we can get into the Austin Rivers reliance, and he was actually pretty good, but at the time there was some concern there that, wait, the only scouting done on Doc Rivers or from Doc Rivers was, well, this is my son, I've seen him play a bunch. So I think what Luke Walton is doing isn't quite the same thing, but I you know, if it becomes an actual trend, I would agree that it's something to keep an eye on.
No, that's totally fair analysis. For all my kind of snarky jokes and whatever, I think they're different situations.
Yeah.
I do think that there is merit in bringing in guys that coaches have experience with.
Yeah, I'm my snark aside on Twitter about where Bogut stands on life issues, I think he could serve a purpose on this team, but I just hope it's not at the cost of a longer look at Zubats, because we've seen what Zubats can possibly be.
Have you been hating on Zubats all summer?
I have. But I'm saying we shouldn't judge Zubats on his most recent stint, because you don't want to judge any player at their highest point or their lowest point. Usually what they become is somewhere in the middle. So I'd like to see where Zubats lands on that spectrum.
That's fair.
And I don't know if that necessarily can take place if you have Brook Lopez, who is already a fully evolved version of Ivica Zubats. You have Andrew Bogut, who is kind of whatever's in between Zubats and what Brook Lopez is. You just have three big lumbering seven-footers who you aren't going to want to play all that often, given how fast the Lakers are hoping to move. So it's going to be interesting how training camp plays out in that competition for minutes between those two guys, because I also think Zubats might not be very well served playing in the G League heading into this year. He was there last year.
Yeah, I think that he could still, obviously, if he's not getting playing time in the NBA, there might be something to be gained from him going down there and just using it as a confidence boost type thing. Mm-hmm. But overall, yeah, I mean, he probably, like, if you're just looking at things objectively, he should get his shot to be in that rotation and take those minutes. And I think the Lakers are going to give him that shot. But if he gets outplayed by, like, Andrew Bogut coming off of an injury, then he probably doesn't deserve those minutes.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. And the injury stuff with Andrew Bogut is real. There's a good chance he doesn't even make it through training camp. He played, what, 5 minutes with Cleveland?
I don't even think it was that long. He just, like, stepped on the court and snapped his leg, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it was wild the way that played out. And you hate to see that happen with any athlete, but at his age, at how big Andrew Bogut is, I wouldn't hold it against anybody if a gun was held to their head and they had to predict if he was going to make it out of training camp and make it onto the Lakers final roster. I wouldn't put it against anybody if they were a little reluctant to actually make that bet and think that he was actually going to make it to whenever it is, October 17th is their first game.
Yeah, and also, you know, you need to stop threatening people with a hypothetical gun to their head.
I need to find a new hypothetical, I would say.
Yes, I think so.
What's the next step down after that?
Somebody forcing you to sign. If somebody's here and they're going to force you to sign Mozgov to a $64 million contract.
The $64 million
If you guess wrong, then then you have to sign him.
Oh man, I feel like I'd rather have a gun in my head.
I feel like maybe we just found out how Timofey Mozgov got $64 million.
Can neither confirm nor deny. All right. Anything else that we needed to talk about? Do we want to talk about Lonzo Ball's new shoe really quickly?
Yes, I have very hard-hitting analysis on his new shoe.
All right. Because I actually had a – I couldn't help
but chuckle. I don't actually, but I'm curious if you do.
Well, not hard. Well, it is kind of interesting that have the ZO2 –
They have not shipped yet, and they will not ship because they are going to send out this new shoe instead of those.
Can you get a refund? Like, if you don't...
Yes, if you don't want the new shoe, you can get a refund. But LeVar Ball had one of the greatest quotes of all time on this. And so they basically said, like... So this is from Darren Rovell. I believe it was Darren Rovell's article. Yeah, it was Darren Rovell's article on the shoe redesign. And so I'm just going to read directly from this. CEO LeVar Ball said he isn't concerned that people who ordered the original model will ask for a refund. Quote, "What happens if you ordered a 2017 diesel and I came out and told you, sight unseen, that I was giving you a 2018 Bugatti for the same price," Ball said. "You wouldn't ask for a refund."
Oh man!
Somehow a real quote from LeVar Ball.
Can we get LeVar Ball out of the shoe business and just into PR?
Yeah, man. I mean, like, you can't argue with it with that logic. Like, yeah, he's like what he just basically said. Like, what happened? Like, so what? You ordered a trash shoe. That's your fault. I'm sending you a better one.
LeVar, you actually designed that trash. No, I didn't. I had a gun in my head.
Fake news.
Which shoe do you like better, the first ones or the second ones?
Honestly, I liked the first ones better, but I mean, I think I probably disliked them for Lonzo's health based on Summer League on the fact that they redesigned them and they're like hastily like, no, we're going to give you these new ones. You don't want those old ones. They it turns out they run on the soles of ankles and it just wasn't a smart design choice. Like everybody's just dying using them.
People rolled their eyes when I had that show with Kirk Henderson a few weeks back about Lonzo Ball's ZO2s, and we had legitimate concern after seeing what Fila did to Grant Hill. If this is actually a scientific thing, and shoe designers or the Ball family paid shoe designers to say, all right, we actually should really figure this out and size up Lonzo's foot, I'm perfectly 150% on board with redesigning the shoe and re-releasing it, regardless of what the customer base might say. Because at the end of the day, I don't care about the 500 people who paid $500 for shoes nearly as much as I do Lonzo Ball remaining healthy for his rookie year and moving forward for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, and hey, it's like LeVar said that. It's like LeVar basically said that last shoe was trash. You're getting a better one.
Yeah, you're getting a Bugatti.
On the record, almost quote from LeVar Ball.
I also enjoyed Kyle Kuzma going on Twitter and making sure to say that the ZO2, are they the ZO2 twos? Are they just going to...
I think they're the ZO2 Prime remixes, I want to say.
I just picture like... For those of you who are, you know, in their early 30s, there was a dude, DJ K Slay, who had all the remixes on Kaza or Kazaa, whatever it was. And I just picture somebody putting on the new ZO2s. DJ K Slay, Slay, Slay.
I think they make a record scratch sound when you put them on.
Exactly. No, that's...
Yeah, no, that's actually the official name, the ZO2, the ZO2 Prime Remix.
Of course. Of course, brought to you by DJ K Slay.
Yeah,
but I enjoyed Kuzma going on there and making sure to tweet out that those new ZO2s are fire. he knows who he needs to be on the right side of on this roster, on this Lakers roster.
Yeah, they should have gotten a direct quote from Kyle Kuzma in that press release too.
Yeah. I wish he would have showed, if there was a Bugatti emoji and he tweeted that out, that's the only way he could have made that more obvious.
Yeah.
Shouts yeah, to Kobe.
Basically, anybody who complains about the new shoe should just stay in their lane, I think is what LeVar is saying.
I would tend to agree.
They aren't a shoe designer. They don't know as well as LeVar does what they want.
Brought to you by DJ Kaysley. All right, well, that'll do it for this week's shorter show. Not too much news to get to. The Bogut signing is interesting. We'll see how training camp plays out next week on Monday. Media day, right?
Yes, Monday is media day, and we are back to the grind. Like, we know we kind of tricked you guys last week. We thought we were going to go back to daily shows this week. That was turned out to be a lie. So, oops, our bad. News. Yeah, next week we will be back to doing daily shows, and we got some exciting stuff planned, actually.
Absolutely. So, media day. So Monday's show probably isn't going to have too much going on. We're probably good. What do you think,
Harrison? Solid plug.
Well, should we? Well, Monday's show is just going to be a preview of media day, stuff that we hope to hear, stuff that would be funny to hear, all that good stuff. We'll see if LeVar Ball actually has his own corner in the gymnasium. But are you going to be at media day?
I will not be at media day.
Okay, so we'll try to record as shortly.
We will record a show after media day, and we will we are hoping to have a special guest for that show, and then we will continue to have shows throughout the week.
Absolutely. All right, everybody, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again on Monday.